Howdy, everyone. Good to have you here today. Hope you're doing well. My name's Devin. I'm one of the pastors here at Summerside, and I'm excited about this little series. You know, COVID, in case you haven't noticed, tends to disrupt our habits, our routines, the rhythms that we have established. And so this short little series is just an opportunity for us to look at a number of practices, or what's sometimes called spiritual disciplines, that the Bible teaches about, that Christians practice in an effort to help them grow. And it's not about duty or drudgery or just completing a list. It's about encountering God as we make ourselves available to Him. And so today we're going to begin this new series on habits. You know, the Oxford English Dictionary estimates that there are north of 250,000 words in the English language. And studies have shown that the average four-year-old can identify around 5,000 words. The average 20-year-old has a vocabulary of around 42,000 words, not including emoticons. While the average 60-year-old, now you seniors are going to like this one, comes in at the top with an average vocabulary of about 48,000 words. Now keep in mind, that includes, you know, objects, contractions, slang, etc. But that's impressive. You know, we instinctively recognize and we know that words are powerful. Sometimes our words can bring about pain, disorder, hardship, or quite the opposite. You know, if we went around this room right now, we shared some of our most painful, wounding and scarring events from our past, more likely than not, they would involve words. Words that were said to us in anger, words that were withheld from us. But at the same time, if we were to go around and share some of the most personally impactful events, encounters with other people, it would incorporate and it would feature words. Words are powerful. They have the ability to destroy and the ability to heal. Words are powerful. And we know this. We know this, and we speak, and we communicate, and we value words, and we hear words, and we filter our understanding through this thing that we call language. Why? Well, in part, we speak because God speaks. We are made in His image, and we reflect Him in that way. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at God's Word. And the importance of God's Word in the life of a believer. Now, I know that so many of you have regular habits of Bible reading. I know that many of you who don't know you should. So my goal today is not simply to remind you that you should be reading your Bible a lot. It's to encourage you to think deeply about what it is that you're actually doing when you open God's Word. That more than just knowledge, more than just understanding, more than just checking a box so that you feel like one of the good Christians and you can look down your nose at those who struggle with this, more than that, this is an opportunity. God's Word is an opportunity for you to encounter the living God. We speak because God speaks, and God's Word is powerful. So today what I'm going to do is today I'm going to offer you some points. Four reasons that you should read your Bible a lot. Four reasons that you should read your Bible a lot. Now today I am speaking primarily to Christians, those who have recognized their need for Jesus, who are trusting in Him alone for their salvation, who aren't trying to impress God with their good works, but are holding fast to Jesus, the one who was crucified, who was buried, and who rose again from the dead in victory over sin, over death, and over hell. I'm speaking to Christians today, but even if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, I believe that God has something for you. The question is, are you listening? So let's jump in. Four reasons why you should read your Bible a lot. Here's the first one. God speaks. God is not silent. God speaks. You know, in the opening pages of the Bible, we read about the creation of the heavens and the earth, all matter created by God. He creates the world, the universe, and everything in it. What's fascinating, in verse 3 of chapter 1, three verses into the Bible, we read this. God said. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And nine times in the opening chapters, God speaks. What's fascinating, if you look at chapter 1, 2, and 3, the first three chapters of the Bible, okay, like the introduction to the whole Bible, the explanation for how it all went wrong and what God's going to do to fix it, one of the dominant themes that you see in chapters 1 to 3 of Genesis is that God is a God who speaks. He dominates the dialogue in every way. God speaks. You know, this is really strange when you think about it. Why did God speak? I mean, think about it. There was nobody else around. He wasn't puttering away on something and just kind of narrating it. He wasn't struggling, kind of talking himself through the actions, you know, like he's defusing a bomb and he's just vocalizing the words so that he can, you know, get everything right. No, there's no audience. And there's no need. So why does he speak? Well, in the very least, one of the reasons that he speaks is because he's revealing something about himself. He's teaching us something about his person, his character. That he is not silent, but he is a God who speaks. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God communicating in numerous ways. Sometimes through dreams and visions and angels, through events, bizarre encounters, prophets and priests and kings. There's even a time in the Old Testament where God speaks through an ass. But I'm talking about a donkey, so don't get envisioning. Some of you just went with that. God speaks through all kinds of ways throughout the Bible because he is a God who speaks. He's not silent. And theologians use two terms to explain how God communicates, right? Let me give them to you so you feel smart. General revelation and special revelation. General revelation or special or specific revelation. Now, these are important. Let me explain them. Okay, general revelation refers to God's revealing of himself to all humanity. And this happens primarily through creation. But it also happens through what's called common grace or just God's goodness in our lives, even though we don't deserve it. Even people who face difficulty, even in seasons of difficulty, you are receiving more of God's grace than you could possibly imagine. Every breath is a gift from God. Every moment of peace is a gift from God. God speaks through creation, through common grace, and through human conscience. And we know instinctively that some things just aren't right. At least I hope you do. Because if you don't, then you need to talk to somebody about that. But we instinctively know as humans that there are some things that are right and some things that are wrong. It doesn't mean that we always do what is right. But we have this internal law. They can look different in different cultures, but there's a lot of commonalities. God speaks through general revelation. The aspect in the Bible that is given the most attention is God's speaking through creation. Right? Psalm 19 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hand. Creation in all of its wonder, in all of its glory, in all of its splendor, reveals God to humanity." Here's another one, Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul's explicit. He says that what can be known about God, his invisible attributes and his power, his authority, is revealed to humanity through creation, but because of our sin, we suppress it. We resist it. We turn it off. We turn down the volume and we look away. But creation, the good things in your life, the conscience that you have, is God speaking. The question is this: are you listening? Now, general revelation reveals God's character to us, but it does so in a limited sense. Because to experience salvation, to experience the restoration of our relationship with God, to be welcomed into His family and forgiven of our sin, takes more than just some kind of vague knowledge about God and His character, okay? It takes what's called special revelation, or specific revelation. And this is God's intentional and full revealing of Himself and of all that He's done to accomplish redemption, forgiveness, salvation, new life. So the first reason that you should read your Bible a lot is that God speaks. That He's not silent. And yes, you can see aspects of His person displayed in creation, in the good things in your life, in your conscience, but you need more than that to experience a relationship with Him. So the first reason that you should read your Bible a lot is because God speaks. He's an actively speaking God. Here's the second reason. God spoke perfectly through the living Word. God spoke perfectly and completely and fully to us in the living Word. And the living Word is Jesus. There's two passages I'm going to ask you to turn to today. And the first one is in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of John. If you don't know where that is, you can always look in the table of contents. You know, oftentimes when I go to like a pastor's conference and I'm sitting beside a whole bunch of pastors who don't know who I am, and the speaker will say, turn to the book of John. I'm always turn and just struggle and wait till see kind of how they respond or how they interact. But it's kind of my go-to joke just to get some responses. But the book of John, if you don't have a Bible, I tell you what. You can grab one off the table here. We would love for you to have one. There's nothing better than for you to have a copy of God's Word and to actually examine it for yourself. The book of John, okay? Here we're going to see how God communicates perfectly and fully through His living Word. Chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5 and then 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word? What is this Word? We'll look down at verse 14 because John answers it for us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Unequivocally and without any kind of ambiguity, the New Testament teaches, the Bible teaches, that Jesus is not simply a spiritual guru with some kind of insight or a good teacher, but He is in fact God in the flesh. And you can see that. If you ever forget, you know, where the Bible teaches that, just remember the number one. John 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, and Revelation 1. Right? The opening chapters of those books, and there's many other places, but it's so crystal clear that Jesus is God's living Word. And in John chapter 14, verses 9 to 14, okay, Jesus gives this incredible teaching to His disciples. I was reading it this morning. He says, the disciples are like, show us the Father, right? Show us the Father. Like, teach us about God. Reveal God to us. We want to know God. And Jesus sits there and compassionately, but also kind of scratching His head, He's like, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Because I and the Father are one. God spoke perfectly and fully and completely through His living Word. That's why we obsess here over Jesus. If you want to know God, you have to know Jesus. Because Jesus is God, come in the flesh to reveal God to us. But here's the rub. Here's the tension. How are you actually going to get to know Jesus? I mean, think about it. Right? We could just sit here. I could get out a whiteboard and we could be like, what's your opinion on Jesus? Or what do you think Jesus was like? And we could kind of swap ideas and, you know, not shoot anything down, just kind of let it go. And we'd come up with a very convoluted and confused view of who Jesus actually is. And one of the issues that I see in kind of contemporary church culture right now in teaching is this subtle division that's beginning to take place between the living word and the written word. Okay? And by that, what I mean is pastors or theologians or teachers who are essentially saying, okay, the Bible is a man's account of a few spiritual things, but our authority is Jesus and Jesus alone. So we're not going to follow the Bible. We're just going to follow a few random, taken out of context verses about Jesus. Stuff like love one another and do not judge. You'll see this happen time and time again. Where what they do is they present this false dichotomy or this fake battle between the written word and the living word. But that's not the case. And here's why. The third reason that you should read your Bible a lot. Not only is there a God who speaks on the other side of this, who wants to communicate with you, not only has he fully and perfectly revealed himself in the living word, but he speaks now through the written word. Okay? There is no division between the living word and the written word because Jesus inspired his written word. Okay? Jesus, who is our authority, our Lord, and our King, inspired the Bible to accurately record all that he has for us. So, take a look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the final passage that I'll ask you to flip to with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Keep working to your right. It's after 1 Timothy. In case you didn't guess that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at what it says in verse 16 and then verse 17. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me read that again. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the person of God, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. God speaks now through his written word. That's why you should read your Bible a lot. Jesus is not your authority if you don't open the word that he gave you to reveal himself to you. Right? Read your Bible a lot. Why? There's a God who speaks. He spoke perfectly through the living word, and he speaks now through his written word. He inspired his word so that we can know him and experience that special revelation that is necessary for us to grow. Here's the fourth reason. God's written word helps shape you into the image of the living word. God's written word helps you grow into conformity into the image of the living word. That's the whole point of it. It helps us grow to become more like Jesus because God's spirit, who is active in his people, God's people, as we share and encourage one another with the truths of scripture, that's what God uses to mold us and to shape us into his image. So this book, 66 books, in one, written over a span of 1,500 years by 40 different authors on three different continents, from people ranging from kings to military leaders to fishermen to prophets to you name it. This book, in all of its diversity, from poetry to historical narrative to personal letters to apocalyptic literature, this fascinating and incredible book is given to us for the sole purpose of revealing Jesus Christ to us and conforming us to his image, so that we would know him, that we would grow to become like him. There is a God who speaks, and he wants to speak to you. He spoke perfectly in his son Jesus. And he speaks now through his written word. And this written word shows us Jesus. It shows us the need for Jesus. It shows us why we need Jesus. And it shows us all that he accomplished, all that he overcame, all that he was willing to give to rescue you and me from hell. That's why you read your Bible a lot. So you see, my goal here is to help reframe your Bible reading, if you're a Christian, from an act of duty or of drudgery or of checking a box, to recognizing that this is all about encountering the one true and living God. The purpose of reading your Bible daily as a Christian is not simply to grow in knowledge. That's good. That's part of growing as a believer. That's part of growing in any relationship. In marriage, you continually grow to learn more about each other. That's normal. But it's never exclusively about knowledge. That as we read this written word that reveals the living word, our hearts and our affections, our love and devotion for Jesus grow. And what happens is slowly and surely God begins to use this to mold us into the image of his son. Now maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what? I can't change. It's just who I am. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know what? I will always struggle with this addiction. I will always struggle with this bad, negative habit. Or, you know what? I will always be grumpy with my kids and harsh because that's how I was raised. Right? I will always be kind of harsh and vindictive with my wife because, you know, she deserves it. It's other people's problem. If you're sitting there thinking, if there's areas of your life that you are thinking that you can never change, think about it. If God can use his word, if God's word can bring about all of creation, order, beauty, complexity, if God can speak creation into existence, then he can change you. If God's word can bring about all of created matter, God's word can change you. God's word can change you. Now let me recap kind of where we've been here. We know we should read the Bible. If you're a Christian, you know that, right? You probably haven't missed that part of the Christian education experience. But oftentimes it just feels like a duty or a drudgery. But what if instead of approaching your Bible reading in the morning or late at night or in the afternoon, instead of approaching it as simply something that you need to get through to not feel guilty for the rest of the day, what if you looked at that and recognized it for what it was? An opportunity to experience, to hear God's voice. What if instead of simply checking off a box, you came with that realization, that expectation that God's going to speak to you through his word and that he's going to do something incredible. He is going to teach you. He is going to rebuke you. He is going to correct you. He is going to train you in righteousness through scripture, which is what 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about. And that he was going to do this so that the servant of God can be fully equipped, prepared for every good work. That God has a purpose in his word. And it's to grow you, to challenge you, to encourage you. Whatever it is that you need to hear from God, you hear from his word. Now, of course, God speaks in other ways. Of course he does. God is powerful. But he speaks primarily to his people through his word. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, maybe you've never actually read the Bible. Let me encourage you to actually do it, right? Even if you do it, you read a couple books and you walk away and you say, you know what, it's just not for me. I just don't buy it. You know, maybe some other time. Even if you take that approach, there's still a ton of benefit, right? This is the best-selling book of all time. This is the most impactful book of all time. This is the most revered book of all time. If you read it, you will gain insights into Western society and see this beautiful and ancient wisdom, even if you don't believe it's true. But I'm warning you. When you open this book, God will speak. And that may mean that you need to be taught, corrected, rebuked, and trained. And that God's word will accomplish that. You know, God speaks through creation, and that's amazing. And take time to enjoy that, to recognize that. Think about his common grace in your life. Just the simple ways that he is good to you. Think about your conscience. Where did all of this come from? This isn't all here by accident. We're not just random atoms that have existed for a brief blip on the universe's timeline without purpose, without meaning. We know that's not true. God is speaking to us through creation, through his grace, and through our conscience. But he spoke to us perfectly and fully in his son Jesus. And that's the issue. That's the person that you need to wrestle through. I don't care if you're 5 years old or you're 95 years old. The single most important thing that you can do in your life is wrestle with the claims of Jesus. And step number one is opening up his word and reading something like the book of John. We have Bibles available for you. Take that as a challenge this week. God is a God who speaks. And the question is this: are you listening? Let me pray. Father, I confess in my own life and in my own heart the amount of times that I've read your word and kind of viewed it as a box to be checked or a task to simply be completed, where I have failed to recognize in humility and with wonder that you are a God who speaks and are seeking to communicate. Help me to grow in that area. For those here today who call themselves Christians, who are your followers, who have been saved through your death and resurrection, Jesus, I pray that you'll make us people of the book. That your word would be our delight because, Jesus, you are our delight. Would we run quickly to your word so that we can learn from you and sit at your feet and marvel and worship at all you've done and at who you are. Make us people of the book. And God, for those who are here who are not yet followers, I pray that you will speak loudly to them. I pray that you will work in their life to do whatever is necessary to get their attention. Speak to their hearts, I pray, so that they can encounter your son Jesus and be saved. We ask all of this in the name of the living word, the Son of God, Jesus our Lord. Amen.